This is an iHeart podcast.
Something bad is going to happen. I'm going to talk about that. Something almost really bad happened in America's churches. Luke Wazayak is here to talk about that. Something terrible is happening in America's churches. We have amazing video. All that terribleness coming up on I'm Right. Okay, so before we get churning and burning on the terrible thing I think is coming, I just wanted to touch on it real quick. James Comey was arraigned today, pleaded not guilty, false statements, the works, went slinking out the back door of the courthouse. I am already displeased with how this is going, and I'll explain why here just briefly before we move on. During the Biden administration, when they were hunting down everybody from pro-lifers to Roger Stone, Peter Navarro, and others, they threw in some humiliation along the way. Remember, Roger Stone was treated to a SWAT team early in the morning. Peter Navarro was taken down, having offered, by the way, Peter Navarro offered several times, I'll come down and turn myself in. They said, no, don't bother. Then they waited till he was on the jetway at an airport where they took him down and put him in leg irons. Pro-lifers like Mark Houck also, through his attorney, said, if you want me arrested, I'll turn myself in. They said, no, don't bother. Then they sent a SWAT team to his house and stuck guns in his face. That's how things were done in the Biden administration. James Comey is allowed to come and go as he pleases. No leg irons, no humiliation. I'm already displeased with how it's going. But hey, arraigned, pleaded not guilty. We will see if he ends up in prison or gets some cherry sweetheart deal like they always seem to. I guess I shouldn't complain too much. It's something. It's something. All right, now, Dome has been making a tour, and I'm not totally sure why she's doing this speaking tour yet. I know in part, it's because she has a book she's selling that no one wants. So when you have a book, remember, I wrote a book. I had to go on a million different shows and speak here and speak there. When you have a book, you have to go out and try to pump your book numbers up. That's what you do. So I get that. But she's doing this tour, and it is reminding all of us, you and me, just how horrible she is.
Because there is so much about this moment that is trying to make people feel like they've lost their mind. When in fact, these
Of course, she had to throw in cuss words like all Democrats do now, trying to butch up, I guess. I don't know exactly what the play is here. I don't really love it, but it is what it is. But back to what she was talking about people losing their minds. That brings me to something I wanted to talk to you about. You know what I do every day now and several times throughout the day? I grab my phone. And I look up social media. I check real quick at social media. Not for normal reasons, to screw off or post something political. Just real quick, I do a quick check. Do you know why I do a quick check? Because I know that at some point, I'm going to do a quick check and an ICE agent is going to have been killed. Or a federal officer of some kind. Maybe it won't be ICE. There are a bunch of different federal agencies involved. I know. It's coming. I know it is coming. And I'm preemptively angry and sad about what I know is coming. Because Dome was half right about something. People have lost their minds. Communists across the United States of America. I'm sorry, Democrats. We'll just say Democrats for now because that's what I mean. A large portion of Democrats have lost their mind. It's not just Antifa street animals. It's not just people in the media. Your Democrat neighbor next door scowls all the time, screams all the time, spits on the Trump flag you have waving because Democrats in the United States of America have completely abandoned any sanity or moderation and they have lost their minds. They have lost their minds because they have been programmed. Now, Democrats are naturally more herd thinking anyway. They're natural herd animals anyway. You got that. But the problem with this is a herd animal can be programmed more easily. You're an individual thinker. You think about things. Do you agree with everything I say on this show every single night? Of course you don't. I'd be disappointed in you if you do. You have your own mind and your own values. Disagree, agree, whatever, but you think about things. If I told you to run and go jump off a bridge, you would say, Jesse's a nutball, I'm changing the channel, it's the baseball playoffs. But that's not how herd animals work on the left. And therefore, you can program them if you lie to them with big enough lies and you stick with those lies and you keep telling the same lies over and over and over and over and over again. The reason the friendly neighborhood Democrat is now a thing of the past is because Democrats live, work, and worship in a world of make-believe. A world of make-believe that is constructed for them and then constantly maintained by newer and bigger lies. I know that you probably don't watch The View. Of course you don't watch The View. And that's fine. That's good. I'm glad you don't watch The View. But that's not important. What is important is Democrats do. They watch and they believe.
Trump wants to host a UFC fight for his 80th birthday? That literally sounds like he's writing an SNL sketch. Like, yeah. That's actually true, you guys.
It is true?
Yes.
At the White House.
He wants to do... Like, my dad had an 80th birthday.
Is he participating in it?
I don't know, but, like, who for your 80th birthday...
How many more years is that? Two more? He'll be gone.
No, I think it's next year.
He'll be impeached. He's going to resign. Something. But, like,
there is crime in American cities, but the way to deal with it is get the funding that you need for police, get the training that you need, and work with local officials.
This is a pretext to stop the next election. That's what I think it is.
Don't be surprised when polling booths are surrounded by American military in the guise of making sure that the elections are fair and that nobody is tampering with anything. And when you see violence breaking out, which there'll be protests, there'll be inciting violence, there'll be some violence, and they'll keep that. Then you'll see the commandeering of voting machines, ballot boxes, to make sure that that election is secure. Well, what that means is that he will then commandeer the election.
I know when you heard all those nutballs speak, I know what you did. Same thing I did. Oh, gosh. That's natural reaction. No, that's ridiculous. He's going to stop the next election. They're going to send the military. Oh, God. That's what you did. I got that. And I'm glad that's what you did. But that is not what the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life did. As she sits there popping her sixth SSRI of the day, she hears and she believes. She hears and she believes. And it's important to note, this is not just on The View or this commentator, this kind of insane lying, this insane incendiary rhetoric doesn't just take place on The View. At the highest levels of the Democrat Party, people hear these things.
I fear that we will not have an election in 2028. I really mean that in the core of my soul, unless we wake up to the code red, what's happening in this country, and we wake up soberly to how serious this moment is.
And next year, I fear that what they're going to do is deploy these folks eventually to polling places and say they're protecting the vote. Donald Trump knows that without shenanigans and without these breaches of the Constitution, that he's going to lose the Congress. And if he loses, he's going to immediately, in the aftermath of the election, do what he said he might do in 2020, which is use the military to confiscate the ballot boxes.
Right? He's going to stop the election. There won't be an election. He's going to send the military to the polls. I want you to just put yourself in the mind of your mentally ill liberal Aunt Peggy, whoever the Democrat is in your life, believing these things. And then they hear people like Brandon Johnson, mayor of Chicago, go on the news and say this.
To be very clear about what's at stake. And in order for our country to be a place of promise and hope and opportunity for people around the globe, who have called the city of Chicago their home. It's why we're so committed to ensuring that we're protecting our democracy and defending humanity.
Defending humanity, protecting democracy. And so the street animals hear these words and they march forward and they feel like they're the good guys. They feel like they're the army of good, even though they're a bunch of rabid demonic monsters. They live in a world of make-believe, believing all the insane lies. Now they box in ICE carrying weapons. They surround them. This is some of the rhetoric from the people already on the ground around our federal officers.
We have seen firsthand how our communities are being terrorized every single day by agents who are kidnapping people, brutally stripping them, snatching them from streets, their cars and homes, and separating families. Today, we ask local businesses if they choose to support their people, their community base, or side with the racist and fascist aggressors. We demand that businesses like the Yards Plaza, owned by Freeman Properties, stop giving immigration authorities access to their parking lots. Stop enabling them to carry out even more terror in our neighborhoods.
They're naming names, naming businesses, kidnapping, stopping an election, sending the military in. We have already seen death. We've already seen assassinations. Just regular people, famous people, attempted assassinations, attempted terrorist attacks every day now, multiple times a day. I pick it up and I check because I know it's coming and it breaks my heart and it makes me angry. But there's no turning down the temperature because you don't have the ability to do so, and neither do I. Nobody on the right can turn down the temperature. The temperature can only be turned down from the left. And let's be frank about this. Let's just be frank about this. They watched an ambush of Steve Scalise and others, and they didn't turn down the temperature. They watched Donald Trump get shot in the ear and another man get his head blown off that day, and they didn't turn down the temperature. Another assassin tried to kill Donald Trump, and they didn't turn down the temperature. Charlie Kirk died out in the open, on video, for everyone to see, and they didn't turn down the temperature. They're not going to turn down the temperature. They're going to turn it up. And someone's going to die. And it sucks. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We almost just had something way scary happen. IEDs, apparently a couple hundred of them. Luke Rosiak is going to talk to us in just a moment. Before Luke talks to us, I do want to remind you that when the communist street animals were rampaging through this country after St. George Floyd died of an overdose, they did so with corporate sponsorship. All those pallets of bricks didn't pay for themselves, after all. Corporate sponsorship. Who do you have your cell plan with? Verizon? T-Mobile, AT&T, did you fund those bricks, the destruction? I have Pure Talk. My company would never. My company is so red, white, and blue, they hire Americans. Their CEO fought for this country in the jungles of Vietnam. My company, Pure Talk, is the real deal. I am proud to be a Pure Talk customer. I'm proud to speak on their behalf. Keep your phone, keep your number, or get a new one. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV and switch today. We'll be back. Well, remember that little chat we just had? How about this for a headline? Here's a doozy. Quote, man with 200 explosives and leftist manifesto arrested outside a Supreme Court event at a church. Well, I'm not an expert. I'm a really stupid person, but I know that sounds really bad. Let's ask Luke about it, being as how it's his freaking headline. Joining me now, Luke Rosiak, investigative reporter with the Daily Wire. Luke, what did you, what?
Hey, Jesse, thanks for having me. Yeah, there's a lot going on in that headline. You would think you could hold off on the domestic terrorism while people were at church, but apparently that's a lot to ask. This is a guy who was in jail for indecent exposure like last year in Arizona, and now he winds up on the steps of a cathedral where every year they have this mass where the Catholic cardinal gives the mass, and you basically pray for the Supreme Court to do their jobs well over the upcoming term. And typically a lot of the justices, specifically the conservative ones, tend to attend. Now this year they didn't attend because of security concerns, and that turned out to be really smart, because this guy's on the steps of the church with 200, he called them grenades and explosives. The cops talk about what chemicals were in these vials. He said like a thermite solution with a detonator. They were apparently viable explosives, and he had a manifesto lashing out at the Supreme Court against ICE, against Catholics, and also against Jews.
Oh, well, he sounds lovely. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what his problem was? Do we know, I should say, what his problem is specifically with the Supreme Court?
Well, we don't know, but this, a couple of years ago, leftists protest at the mass holding up signs saying stop Kavanaugh, basically defaming him with a smear that he was a gang rapist. And then, of course, somebody tried to kill Brett Kavanaugh in 2022. And on Friday, his would-be assassin was sentenced, and sentencing guidelines called for 30 years to life. The judge, who was a Joe Biden appointee, gave the would-be assassin, who she admitted committed domestic terrorism, she gave him only 8 years. And the prosecutors were saying, look, you need to give us a real sentence because it's a deterrent. If you don't bring down the hammer of justice when somebody tries to kill a Supreme Court justice, it's going to happen again. And Jesse, not 48 hours went by until it did happen again. And so we don't know specifically, other than this guy is pissed at ICE, which is a pretty standard left-wing thing, but he's at this event for Catholic justices where last year you had Kavanaugh, you had Roberts, and you had Amy Coney Barrett all in attendance, not to mention, you know, a Catholic cardinal and like 1,200 people.
Luke, I understand I'm going to ask something you may not be able to answer, or maybe you can and you need to be careful with your answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway as a pretend journalist. I am a little bit concerned about the level of sophistication, it sounds like, with the explosive devices when I think about some quacked out dork who's got indecent exposure freaking, you know, charges against him. I think about some guy trying to make some homemade concoction that's not going to work, but the way you made it sound is these things look like they were going to work.
Yeah, I mean, apparently they were legit. They had what the police called an M device on them, which I think is a military insignia. So it'd be interesting to see whether this guy has a military background. But this was a real threat, and the bomb squad was able from Metropolitan Police in D.C. was able to apprehend what they called 200 devices with a small smell of acetone. Some of the liquid was determined to be nitromethane. And so, yeah, this could have been a disaster. And I think one of the problems that we have over the last couple of years is there's been a lot of domestic terror attacks by the left that failed. And so they just don't get any attention and we just move on. But just because Donald Trump turned his head an inch to the left doesn't make the attempt any worse. There's a number of examples like that where this could have been so much worse, and that doesn't give us an excuse to pretend it didn't happen, because the attempt here was absolutely horrific.
Luke, I want to talk about a story that it may be old for you, but I can't help but think about it every time one of these dirtballs gets off scot-free. A Soviet influence group forming a shadow government and what?
Yeah, so, it comes back to these Soros-funded prosecutors and the idea that one of the big things that's happened in America over the last 10 years has become this idea that prosecutors have started essentially siding with the criminals instead of the victims. And how did that happen? I mean, how did you have all these Soros prosecutors that not only are winning election, but then they're all doing the exact same policies? So it turns out there's a little group called the Wren Collective, which was offering free services to the Soros DAs, like free employees, top-level employees in all of these offices. So they're government employees, but it's kind of like if, say, ExxonMobil offered free employees to the EPA, and the Environmental Protection Agency said, oh, this is great, we get free employees. But of course, the employees are really doing the interests of this, doing the bidding of this interest group. And so they were actually involved in like whether people should, what sentences people should get and what the charging decision should be should cops go to jail if the cops were involved in a dispute, all kinds of crazy stuff. And so it turns out not just Soros didn't help these guys get elected, but he's also kind of puppeteering them afterwards.
Luke, thank you for your reporting as always, man. I appreciate it. All right. Speaking of the church, we have to have a chat about the communists and the church and their connections to it. I get a little uncomfortable in a moment. Before we do that, let's talk about you. Let's talk about what's inside of you. How do you feel? At the end of the day, when you're done driving home, get home, drop your keys, how do you feel? Are you done? Are you counting the seconds until bedtime? Can't wait to just plop down? Or do you feel good, ready to go? Hey, let's go for a walk. Let's play a board game. I want to call and talk to somebody. How do you feel? If you are gassed, if you're done, it's because you don't have natural herbal supplements from Chalk inside of your body. Chalk will change your life, not just at work, where you'll feel better all the time, better mood all the time, when you get home from work. Let Chalk change your life. Go get a subscription. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Let's talk about communism and the church. You know already, because we talk about it all the time, that communism is itself a religion. It is not a political ideology. It's not left. It's not Democrats. It is a religion. It is a way to see the world in a way to serve a power higher than yourself. That's how communists view it. So they have a problem, though. So many people, maybe you, they already have a belief system. They already serve a power higher than themselves, and they don't want to replace it with communism. Well, that's a problem if you're a communist. So you can handle this problem a variety of ways, but one thing the communist knows for a fact, you have to handle this problem. So if you're in the Soviet Union, you might just burn down the churches and torture and kill the priests. You'll do the same thing in Spain when you have your communist revolution. If you're in China, you go execute all the Buddhist monks, tear down the temples. You're just taking care of the problem in a more forward manner. But American communists don't have that option. They don't. America's Christian founding, America's church, it's occupied by a bunch of people with guns. Even if you're a Democrat president in this country, you kind of still have to pretend a little bit to be part of it. So if you're Joe Biden, you have to stumble into mass once every year and tell people you're a Catholic. Why is he doing that? Joe Biden isn't Catholic. Why is he doing that? Well, you understand you still have to pay lip service to it. Well, that's a problem, isn't it? If you're a communist having a revolution, that's a problem. They want to burn down the church and kill all the people who go there. But you can't do that here. So if you can't do that, if that option is not available, what options do you have? We have to take them over. If you can't burn them down and kill everyone, then you have to infiltrate them and marry your religion with theirs until you can finally destroy it. And they know being anti-Christian is a problem for them. They've known this for years. that image, which is very accurate, is a problem for them. This is an old clip that's been going around, but it's from 2016. John Stewart getting all indignant. You don't own Christianity.
This country isn't yours. You don't own it. It never was. There is no real America. You don't own it. You don't own patriotism. You don't own Christianity. You sure as hell don't own respect for the bravery and sacrifice of military, police, and firefighters. Trust me.
But we do own those things. The communist hates America, hates the church, hates the cops, hates the military. We do own those things. So why would you go on a rant like that? Because he understands the fact that we own these things and the fact that that image is out there presents a problem for the communist revolution. So what do you do? Well, you have to infiltrate the seminaries, infiltrate the church, and make it something completely against the Bible and frankly demonic. That's why we have female pastors now.
Word became flesh and lived among us, and my body, your body, their bodies are home for the living God. Yes? Full of grace, full of truth. That is why I take my 11-year-old boy to drag shows in the summer with my friend and fellow church leader Kate and her 11-year-old boy. I want him to know that there is no wrong way to have a body, especially if you're a man, that bodies can be celebrated and played with. I want him to know that all bodies can shapeshift and be adorned with makeup and glitter, all bodies. I want him to know that there is no wrong way to live in his body, as long as his body is not hurting other bodies, amen? I especially want him to know this if he turns out to be a heterosexual, able-bodied, and cisgendered man. I want to raise a boy who knows that he doesn't get to tell other people how to live in a body.
And I want her to know she's going to burn in hell for all of eternity if she doesn't apologize and change her ways. But that's not the point. The point is the people who sit in those pews, they think they're getting the teachings of God. When instead, you know what they're getting. Look, this stuff is everywhere.
O God of pronouns, we give praise to the Great One, the One who is identifiable as God. I am what I am, you say, the great they, the incarnate he and she, the God of trans being, male and female, intersex, non-binary, in your image, exactly in your image. Spectrum, rainbow God, who put your promise for nonviolence in the symbol for queer love before humanity knew, because you knew. God of pronouns, who said, you can call me he or she or they, whatever makes you feel closest to me.
I'm not going to play anymore. Look, I could. We have 20 of these. I'm not going to play anymore because it sickens me. But just know that this was done on purpose by the communists. They ran smack dab into the American church, and they had to figure out a way to conquer it. And they are conquering it. And it's not all these freaks. Maybe your pastor gave a sermon on white privilege after George Floyd died. Mine did, by the way. I lost my church that day. But we have got to be awake and realize the communists are infiltrating the churches in order to destroy a competing religion. All right? Speaking of which, the Pope is blessing blocks of ice. I don't know what to say. We'll play you the video in a second. We'll talk to practicing Catholic Mark Morano about it in a moment. Before we do that, go get some chips. It'll make you feel better. Get some massive chips. I know what you're thinking. Jesse, I'm going to feel all bloated and horrible if I eat chips. No, that's because your chips are garbage. That's the reason you think chips make you feel horrible. Massive chips aren't like this at all, you see. Three ingredients. Tallow. Right, good salt. Good ingredients. None of this cancer-causing filth that's in all these other chips. But of course, now you're thinking, oh great, health chips. These have to be gross. My son, my youngest son, he is my junk food freak. He loves it. He would eat cake every meal if I let him. He prefers masa chips over any other kind of chip. They're amazing. Amazing flavors. Try, go get a couple bags. Go get all the flavors of masa chips. You'll see what I mean. I like to actually put a little hot sauce on mine. I sit there with my masa chips, little dab of hot sauce. Mm. MassaChips.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
I would now like to invite you to stand for the blessing of the waters.
Lord of life, bless this water. May it awaken our hearts, cleanse our indifference, soothe our grief, and renew our hope through Christ our Lord.
We will raise hope by standing with communities most at risk. Will you join us?
Laudato si, mi Signore, con tutte le tue creature.
May these voices of hope rise as one. May they echo beyond this gathering and into every corner of the earth. Amen.
Joining me now, our friend, executive editor at ClimateDepot.com, Mark Morano. Mark, what kind of weird, cultish, commie gobbledygook did I just watch the Pope participate in?
Jesse, I am so disappointed. I am a Catholic, born and raised. Ugh. I attended the 2015 Climate Summit at Vatican City. I flew to Italy with a whole bunch of other climate skeptics and actually got in. I was threatened to be removed by the UN. This is when Pope Francis was in charge. And I called it an unholy alliance back then that he was joining. And I thought Pope Leo's a new pope. We're going to have a fresh face. Thank God we're out of all that woke climate activism stuff. And here you just played what we witnessed. Pope Leo, the new pope who replaced Francis, who was known as the climate pope, has now done this blessing of the ice. He seems to believe that it was Peter, upon this ice I build my church. I don't think that was the correct verse. Pope Leo did this at a climate justice event, which is about as wacky as you get. You know, for lack of a real explanation, climate justice is all of us who don't get San Diego weather think we deserve it. So that's an injustice that only, you know, Southern California gets that beautiful TV weather that you only see in TV shows. They're never always sunny. But that's where he said these comments. This was a weird pagan ritual taking the Catholic Church down a dark path. He's already opened up a new center on a Vatican era to monitor the environment, number one. And number two, a few months back, he prayed for the conversion of climate skeptics around the world so that they would care about climate change. And this is on top of his predecessor urging Catholics to pray for a successful outcome to a UN climate summit. I'm sorry, none of this has to do with theology. None of it has to do with the Bible. None of it has to do with religion. None of it has to do with Catholic teachings. Pope Leo is confusing Catholics and the world.
Okay, Mark, we just got rid of one commie pope. What is the procedure for choosing these people? Why can't we just get a normal pope? What is happening?
Well, this is an American pope from Villanova University in Pennsylvania. There was a lot of hope that he would just get rid of the woke stuff, but apparently, I don't know if it's in the Vatican or not, but he's carrying on Francis' legacy. Now, I don't know about a lot of the other Catholic doctrinal issues. I think it's too early, but for some reason, he just wanted to get out on climate, and it's the dumbest move he could make. Has nothing to do with theology. I mean, this is confusing Catholics. Let's see, abortion, end of life issues, eternity, confessions. Oh, and climate change. I have to believe in that now. Is that part of the catechism? I don't know what to tell you. I mean, this is a big shame. I mean, he looks like he's going deep as the as what some derisively called the Red Pope, Pope Francis.
Yeah, well, if it makes you feel any better, Mark, it's not just you Catholics. Let me tell you what, the Protestant world I'm in is a disaster too. I mean, we won't even talk about the friggin' Methodists. It's just all throughout the church. In fact, we just touched on it. So I hope that makes you feel a little bit better. Speaking of a big disappointment, here was AOC back in 2019.
And we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is... Your biggest issue is how are we going to pay for it? Mm-hmm. And like, this is the war. This is our World War II.
Mark, we're almost out of time. We're halfway done.
Halfway done. And we now have Greenland ice growing, Arctic ice growing, Antarctic ice doing fine. We have no rise acceleration in sea level, according to a new study out. You can go through the whole gamut. The hottest era of the United States heat waves was the 1930s when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president. Not now. The hottest year claims that they do are based on statistical nonsense, which basically means no change. They get the temperatures that are within hundreds of a degree. They try to claim a record, which is outside, which is well inside the margin of error. So they have tried everything and anything, and it's utter and complete failure across the board. What's shocking, Jesse, is not that AOC is wrong on this 10-year tipping point, but that no one cares. And this is the real shocking part. No one cares that the Trump effect, Donald Trump-led collapse of the entire global warming cottage effect from UN summits to the European nations and net zero commitments, is collapsing. The nations aren't even submitting their reports now to the UN. The only people who are the climate heroes now are China and Russia. They're stepping up because they want to look like heroes next to Trump with a certain, you know, academic and globalist set at the moment. But it's incredible. I mean, even the climate activists realize. Mark Carney, the Prime Minister of Canada, first act was to zero out the carbon tax in Canada. They know they can't push this. Now, I'm not saying it's over. This is Bill Gates. This is funding. This is academia. This is corporate world. This is the international community. This is international forums like World Economic Forum, the WHO, the UN. They're just laying low right now where they're being currently crushed. But they will rise again because there's so much institutional structures, and they may morph themselves. They're trying to morph with public health. You know, get your flu shot and get your, get your absolution from climate change. Maybe they'll bring in religious figure in the doctor's office as they merge public health and climate change. Because more viruses lead to runaway climate leads to more viruses, and that's where they're trying to ultimately go.
Yeah, of course. You see, you need to buy Bill Gates' vaccines in order to save the planet. It's really complicated. Anyway, Mark. The good news is we all found out today when we turned on the news that apparently climate change has a face, because we all watched the Palisades burn and we all watched every single scumbag Democrat run to the cameras and tell everybody that it was because you're driving an SUV. But a man was arrested today, Mark. What happened?
It turns out it was an Uber driver. 29-year-old Jonathan Rinderknecht, however you say his name, grew up in France, which is kind of strange. And he was arrested for starting the fire. Apparently, Uber drivers were listening to him playing a French song that was glorifying like wildfires or something. So this is on the heels of all of Hollywood, the international community, the UN, all the climate activists blaming, and the media, but blaming the LA wildfires on climate change. Nope, turns out it was a little thing called Uber driver. And that's who started it, which is not surprising, Jesse, not that Uber drivers started it, but 80% plus of all wildfires are started by humans, whether intentionally or unknowingly. It looks like this was intentional. This is like an intentional arsonist that set this fire in California. And if you the overall stats, though, show that that majority, well over, global wildfires are started by unintentional or intentional. The other way that man can start these fires that is not necessarily directly intentional is through bad land use policies. So in California, you had a toxic, perfect brew of an arsonist, of course, the alleged arsonist. We don't know for sure. He hasn't been convicted. And then you have poor public response. You have poor land management. You have restrictions on water supply to the public servants who didn't even react. So you put all of that together, and that equals CO2 in the atmosphere, huh? That's what the media would have you believe. It's just the lies get exposed every day.
Mark, real quick, obviously the land use management is a disaster. They wouldn't clear the dead brush, as you already pointed out. And of course, climate change, whacked out commies setting fires is not ideal. The water part I wanted to ask you about, though, that, I mean, look, I guess I'm not a twisted up, disgusting climate nutter. That doesn't make sense to me. Why didn't they have water?
Very simple. They have to get rid of dams in California, which of course have plentiful water supplies. Why are they blowing up dams? Why did Gavin Newsom brag for years about getting rid of these old dams in California? Because they're trying to restore California to pre-civilization state. This is the ideology that runs these states, the blue states. This is California. They're worried about snail darters and certain species of salmon. And they look at maps of 100 years ago and they say, well, look, this species thrived. We got to restore this and we got to blow these dams up. And that's what they've done. And when you blow up a dam, you lose a ready supply of water. And that becomes a statewide crisis. So even if they had a perfect fire response from the humans, and let's assume for a moment, which is laughable about Los Angeles, that their emergency response was right on top of the fire, they still wouldn't have had the water necessary to put it out.
Good God. Mark, thank you, brother. As always, I appreciate you. Lighten the mood. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood, and we're going to continue mocking Democrats. It's easy to forget what's happening in California. There's a primary. Well, I mean, there's going to be a primary going on. It's already kind of heating up here. And according to the latest polls, Katie Porker is currently in the lead, comfortably, last time I checked, to be the Democrat nominee. But people don't think about this, and people forget just how truly horrible Katie Porker is. She sat down with this reporter, and this is how it went.
What do you say to the 40% of California voters who you'll need in order to win, who voted for Trump?
How would I need them in order to win, ma'am?
Well, unless you think you're going to get 60% of the vote. You think you'll get 60%. Everybody who did not vote for Trump will vote for you. That's what you're
saying. In a general election? Yes.
The question is, what do you say to the 40% of voters who voted for Trump?
Oh, I'm happy to say that. It's the do you need them to win part that I don't understand. I'm happy to answer the question as you have it written, and I'll answer it.
And we've also asked the other candidates, do you think you need any of those 40% of California voters to win? And you're saying, no, you don't.
No, I'm saying I'm going to try to win every vote I can. And what I'm saying to you is that...
Well, to those voters. Okay, so you...
I don't want to keep doing this. I'm going to call it. Okay. Thank you.
You're not going to do the interview with us?
Nope, not like this. I'm not. Not with 7 follow-ups to every single question you ask.
Every other candidate has answered
our follow-ups. I don't care. I want to have a pleasant, positive conversation in which you ask me about every issue on this list. And if every question you're going to make up a follow-up question, then we're never going to get there.
Ms.
And
Porter,
we're just going to circle around.
I am an investigative reporter.
I have never
reporter.
Had to do this before, ever.
You've never had to have a conversation with
to end
a
an
reporter?
Interview.
Okay, but every other candidate has done this.
What part of I'm me? I'm running for governor because I'm a leader. So I am going to make...
So you're not going to answer questions from reporters? Okay, why don't we go through? I will continue to ask follow-up questions because that's my job as a journalist, but I will go through and ask these, and if you don't want to answer, you don't want to answer. So nearly every legislative...
I don't want to have an unhappy experience with you, and I don't want this all on camera.
Oh, gosh. Just every part of it, it's fantastic. Anyway, speaking of, really along the same lines, AOC, who probably, given her recent developments, should probably refrain from insulting other people's looks, but she tried.
I want to express my love for the Short King community.
Laugh at them. Stephen Miller is a clown. I've never seen that guy in real life, but he looks like he's like 4'10", and he looks like he is angry about the fact that he's 4'10".
I don't believe in body shaming. I am talking about how big or small someone is on the inside.
The problem with that is AOC is not who she used to be. AOC, she may be big on the inside, but she's big on the outside now, too. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Elevation. That's all, folks.
This is an iHeart podcast.